Good evening. Please turn your psalm books 488. After this psalm, we'll stand for opening prayer.
When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? And in the troubles and cares of the story land, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with harp bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? Walking and talking with Christ the supernal one, won't it be wonderful there? Praising, adoring the matchless eternal one, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with harp bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? There where the tempest will never be sweeping us, won't it be wonderful there? Sure that forever the Lord will be keeping us, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with harp bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there?
Please stand for opening prayer.
Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we come before you at this time, at another hour of worship service, to give praise and honor to you as the one and only true and living God. Father, we pray for all the blessings that you have given to us this day, for another day of life, for our friends and our families, but Father, for the special blessing of thy Son Jesus. We give you thanks the most. Father, we know and we understand and we acknowledge that we have all sinned and fallen short of his glory. And we understand that Jesus is truly our only hope. For all that he's done for us, Father, we pray that we never take that for granted, that we never forget, that we never get absorbed in this temporary life that we all live. But help us to understand that his will, your will be done no matter what. Father, we need thy mercy. We need thy patience. We need thy love and thy forgiveness. And we need thy blessings every day. Humble us, Father, so that we understand that you are above us, that no people, no government, nothing will ever replace you. Father, help us at this time, in this hour, to separate from our minds the very things of this world. Help us to concentrate and meditate upon the words, the songs that we sing, and upon the lesson that is to be presented to us. Love us, Father, again. Forgive us of our many, many sins. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Please turn your psalm books to 496. 496.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid out somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and
Trying to decide whether to introduce Terry again or not, and I think I'll do that each night if there's somebody here that wasn't there another night. So I think that's appropriate to do that. Jared has asked me to announce, if you will please, if you have a part of prayer or speaking, to come up to the microphone. And that announcement's mostly for me, so I don't forget it too. It's something different, and we have to get used to doing that. We are putting this out as an audio. You can get on the internet, and that's what's up by the door for that. And if for people that we've got locked in now because of their bed fast or something, you'd even watch hear the service on audio. And soon we'll probably be going to where they'll be able to see it as well. One step at a time. So thank you for coming. It's good to see you that have been able to come out. And we're especially happy to have the visitors we have with us. I'm Jim Lanning, one of three men doing the work of an elder for the South Main Church of Christ. I'm here to introduce our preacher this evening, Terry Townsend, an evangelist for the New Concord Church of Christ. Terry's been working with them for 6.5 years. He is a graduate of East Tennessee School of Preaching. He has preached in Tennessee, Alabama, and Ohio. Terry has about 26 years of experience. His wife's name is Carrie. They have a son and daughter, and as I said this morning, they have a new granddaughter about 6 months old. Our theme for this lesson is encouragement, and we want to welcome Terry again this evening. So thank you again for coming down, Terry.
Thank you. It's okay. I'm going to stand down here tonight. Is that all right? They've put a mic on me, so I'm hoping that it works. If it doesn't, back there, Mark, just kind of wave your arms. Okay, I see a thumbs up. All right, that's good. There was a couple weeks ago on a Sunday morning, and occasionally as a preacher, you kind of get going, and you're focused on what you're saying, but you also try to maintain somewhat eye contact. I'm always trying to work on that. The guys in the sound booth, we call it the bird's nest, they apparently my mic went dead. Now, I knew that, you could just kind of tell. And then they were able to put the mic on at the pulpit. I was standing at the pulpit, but we have a mic they put on me because if you haven't noticed yet, I'm a little high strung and nervous acting. So I move around a little bit. And so they put that on me. So I appreciate you doing that tonight. And I mentioned this morning getting out of our comfort zones, the last point that I mentioned about evangelism. And even for me as a gospel preacher years ago, that was sort of, a concept. I did all the preaching and teaching, but also need to be setting an example in personal work, personal evangelism. But that could be nerve-wracking when you're trying to reach somebody, especially somebody that do I want to go in here and maybe hurt a relationship that I have by talking to them about religion? Some people, there are things that you just don't mention, religion and politics, right, with some people. But politics, I basically just try to stay out of that. I'm kind of anti-politic. I follow the Lord. I pray for our leaders. But when it comes to Christ and soul winning in the gospel, I feel like I need to get out there and share that with everybody I can, even if it may upset somebody. I don't mean to do that. I'm in love. I want them to know, hey, here's what God wants us to do, because I want to see them with me in heaven. And so tonight I'm kind of stepping out of my comfort zone. I don't usually do this. I have notes. I'm a noted preacher. I'm going to try to go without them tonight. I hope that this lesson will be an encouragement to you. Galatians 6, beginning at verse 9, Paul writes, he admonishes, let us not grow weary in well-doing. That word weary, W-E-A-R-Y, in the original Greek, means to grow tiresome, to become exhausted. It means to lose heart or spirit. Paul's writing, he says, don't grow weary, don't become exhausted, don't give up in doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And then he kind of gives us the remedy, and he does this again in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. But in verse 10 of Galatians 6, verse 10, he gives us the formula for staying steadfast. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are the household of faith. He would say in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 57, that great chapter, the resurrection chapter, he says, we have victory now in Jesus Christ. And because we have victory in Christ, let us remain steadfast, unmovable, not growing weary, not giving up, not giving in. Be steadfast, unmovable. How, Paul? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. And so we've got to get involved. We've got to do God's will. But sometimes we grow weary. Maybe you're like me. There's been some times in your life when you were ready to quit spiritually. I shared this with the congregation at New Concord a few weeks ago. I also shared some of this information I'm going to give you tonight with the preachers. We hold or host the preachers' meeting every month at New Concord, and I always enjoy that. And so I spoke this last time. I was supposed to give this material at PTP, Polishing the Pulpit, this year. And they told me last year they wanted me to come. I didn't know it till it was too late. I said, you guys didn't call me. Well, we didn't have your phone number. They had me on the schedule. I didn't know I was supposed to speak. So this year they've got me down. And part of the lesson that I'm going to give you tonight was supposed to be what they wanted me to speak on. Then I got my latest material, and it turns out they don't want me to speak on that at all. They've given me something different. So, but that's okay. The year was 2010, and I'll never forget that year. You've all had years like the one I'm going to tell you about. It was one of the hardest, darkest years of my life. Things weren't going well where I was preaching. In fact, I was at a point when I was going to quit. I had contacted about 9 congregations. I had already kind of informed the congregation I was going to give them one more year to straighten up, or I was getting out of there. And I'm not saying they were a bad congregation. The personality, it was just not a good mix. Doesn't make them bad, doesn't make me bad. It's just one of those things. But I had sent out resumes. I'd called 9 different congregations or elderships and then sent out 9 resumes. Not a single congregation, first time in my life, called me back. I was miserable. I was becoming bitter. My attitude wasn't the best. To top that, we were having problems on the home front. Not necessarily my wife and I. We've had our ups and downs over the years, but it wasn't necessarily that. We had 2 teenage children, young teenage children. Some of you can relate to that who've had kids. But our daughter was having some issues, mental issues, that I had never dealt with before. She was suffering with depression. In fact, we had taken her to a doctor, and the doctor had us convinced that she was schizophrenic. I was like, what? I've been around her. I don't think she's that. That's what they had her. In fact, it got so bad for a period of time, we had to have her admitted to a hospital. And that was the longest week of my life. I remember taking her to the hospital. In fact, we were told the only way you're going to be able to get her in to see a specialist that she needs is you've got to have her admitted. And I just did not want to do that. I've heard all the stories about that, and I was afraid about that. But finally, we had no choice. We did that. It was the very same week, while she was there in the hospital, that my grandfather passed away. This was my dad's father, and we were very, very close. So I've got problems at church. I've got problems at home. Now we're going through the grieving process of my grandfather. Soon thereafter, my uncle passed away unexpectedly. And we're dealing with a daughter who's got all kinds of issues. Several months had passed since I had sent out resumes. Nobody called. I was out walking in my neighborhood one day, as I was accustomed to doing then. It was a little park real close to where I lived. And I was out walking, and I'd finally had just about all I could take. And so I decided I'm going to call my twin brother, and I'm going to get out of preaching, and I'm going to go back to selling tires, something I said I would never do again. And so I sat down for a few moments, and I called him. He knew what I was going through. I always knew that if things got bad, I always had that as something I could fall back on. I could always go back and work with him and sell tires. I always thought that that would be no problem. Only this time when I called him, he said, "I'm sorry, bro. Call me bro. You can't come back." I hung up the phone, and I said to myself, now what? Turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going back to the Old Testament. This is one of many passages that I went back to when I was going through my difficulties. This is one of these passages that helped me get through those difficult days. Maybe you're going through similar situations in your life. Maybe it's financial issues or marital issues. Maybe there's problems at church. Hope not, but maybe there are. Maybe it's other issues. Maybe it's parent to son or daughter issues. Maybe you're dealing with some health issue tonight. And it's wearied you down. It's caused you to doubt maybe, or even have some fear concerning your faith in Jesus Christ. And I hope tonight that I will encourage you to stay the course, to not grow weary, not to give up, not to give in, but to do what God wants you to do. Elijah, what a prophet. If you have your Bibles open, beginning in verse number 1, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. You don't name your daughter Jezebel. I don't know too many parents named their son Ahab. But they were wicked. They were evil. Elijah's a prophet. He's a spokesman for God. He's doing God's will. And so if you're taking note tonight, the first, we're just going to make these one-word points to make it easy. Realization. Write it down. Realization. You know, the first two verses when I read this, Elijah's coming to the realization that, you know what? Life's got its problems. Life has got some difficulties. And one of the things that I've had to learn down through the years, especially early on as a gospel preacher, was the fact that life doesn't always go smoothly. That you're going to have years like my 2010. There are going to be people from time to time that you may not agree with, or they may not agree with you. Now, we mentioned this morning one of the points, we've got to try to work through those problems and work with those people. We get that. But the fact is, there are difficulties in life. Do you remember the story that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 7? The two houses, the storm that hit, there were two houses. One was built on what? Do you remember? Rock. What was the other built on? Sand, right? And we know the story. We know that when the storm came, the one that was founded upon the rock, founded upon Christ, stood. But the one that was founded on sand fell. But the point I want to make tonight is this, something we sometimes overlook. The fact is this, the storm hit both homes. Whether you're founded upon a rock or sand, you're going to experience some storms of life, aren't you? There's not a one of you here tonight that's not experienced that. Maybe you're going through a storm right now. We have to come to the realization that those things might happen to us in this life. In fact, they might, it's not a might, they will. And that's something I had to learn. I grew up in the church, as most of you know. Those of you who know have known me since I was a youngster. Both my grandfathers served as elders down through the years. As I mentioned this morning, both my wife and I, we could go back several generations where our families were members of the church. My dad served as an elder in the church for years. And I can remember growing up, I never heard my mom or my dad say anything negative at all about the church. Even when Dad became an elder, we'd all be in the car together. There was never anything negative about the church. It was always positive. It was always good. And so when I became a gospel preacher, my mindset was, everything's perfect. And in God's eyes, the church is perfect. The problem is, humans, we kind of mess it up from time to time. And so my first work, when I'm finally preaching full time, it wasn't long after I began preaching full time that I had some negativity, some criticism. And I had people that got upset, and they were upset with me, and I didn't know how to handle that. Because I thought the church, you know, everybody got along. That's not always the case. I tell young preachers all the time, and I'm that old preacher now. Till a couple months ago, I was the young preacher. Now I'm the old preacher. I get to go over to West Virginia School preaching sometimes and speak in their chapels. And I tell those fellas, guys, listen, you need to realize that life isn't always a bed of roses. It's not always going to be great. Now, the greatest life that one could ever live is the life of a Christian. Let me just tell you that right now. I don't want to scare anybody off from obeying the gospel if you've not done that. I wouldn't want to change anything, but there are times in life, and really when you think about it, you don't have to be a gospel preacher. You don't have to be a child of God, although we want you to. We want you to be. No matter where you go in life, you're going to have some problems along the way. Think about Elijah. What all that he had gone through. Here's a man who had predicted the drought. He had gone to Ahab and said, there's a pending drought. There's a drought coming. Then he's led by God to a brook where he stays there for a time. God's taking care of them. God feeds him. But ultimately that brook dries up. And then he's led to the widow of Zarephath where they take care of one another. Ultimately, he's on that mount where he takes on the 450 prophets of Baal. And he tells the people, how long are you going to be between two opinions? You got to decide, and you need to decide right now who you will serve. Same thing Joshua said, Joshua 24, verse 15. And he slew those prophets of Baal. Word gets back to Jezebel. Now Jezebel's after him. Realization. The sooner we can realize that there are going to be problems that we're going to face in this life, the sooner you and I can be prepared for those things and better equipped to deal with them when they come. Notice verse 3. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. He came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. You ever felt that way? That's how he felt. That's what he's requesting. And he said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. The second point, the second word is dissociation. Dissociation. And what I mean by that is, Elijah had to dissociate himself. He had to remove himself. He had to distance himself, at least for a time, from the negativity, from those who were trying to kill him. When I think about people who grow weary in well-doing, sometimes it's a result, more often than not, of people we associate with, people that we're around. Do you ever been around a person that's just miserable all the time? My wife, if she was here tonight, she's over at New Concord, she might say to you, it's my husband, I'm not that bad. I'm really not that bad. Misery loves company. You heard that, right? Sometimes the best thing we can do is just distance ourselves, maybe remove ourselves for a time from that which is bringing us down. Now, I know what you're thinking. I hope this is not what you're thinking. But when I preached this before, some of these points, especially at New Concord, there were some that were tapping their spouse, like, you're my problem, so the preacher's giving me okay to leave you. No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. We go back to the point I made this morning about if that's the case, first you need to go seek some counsel, get some help, work that out. What I mean by this, sometimes it's not that we can't escape at work. Maybe you've got a boss or you've got somebody you work with that you're working right beside you. You either quit your job or you have to learn to deal with it. Dissociate yourself means sometimes you just have to let some things go in one ear and out the other. I don't know about you. There was a time when I'd watch the news. I don't watch the news anymore. Now, in the mornings, I'll turn Spectrum on because that's the channel that pops up because there's always the weather. So I'll watch that for a few minutes. And even that is negative, seems like most of the time. But I finally realized it doesn't matter if you're CNN, MSNBC, Fox, or whatever you watch. It just seems like, for at least for me, it was just getting the best of me. Every time I turn on the news, it's all bad and it's just pulling me down. And I find myself, even sometimes yet, just last week, at the church building, as I'm walking around and I'm listening to Alex Jones, I'm into this conspiracy stuff. No, I'm not really. I just listen to all sides of it. I just had to turn it off. I had to dissociate myself from it because it's like the world's coming to an end. And I walk around the church building and I'm talking to God as there's nobody else there. And so I'm talking to God and I'm saying, Lord, you know, this old world just... Think about what Elijah's going through, how dark and how doom and gloom it is. And Lord, you're going to have to do something about this. So I just have to dissociate. I have to remove myself. I have to distance myself from those or from those things that might pull me down. That may be the news. That may be somebody you work with. All right? But that's what Elijah's doing. God is calling him out, and he's removing himself, and he's feeling sorry for himself. But God's allowing him to go. Notice verse 5. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, there then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise,
and eat. He laid under and slept under a juniper tree. Realization, dissociation, the third point, relaxation. God's allowing him to go and to relax a little bit, to think about what he's going through, to meditate and to really examine not only himself but the situation at hand. But he's also giving him some time to rest. Sometimes we just need a little R&R. I was talking to my wife today, and I said, after we left here, I said, do you realize it's been since the middle of October since I've not preached at New Concord? We had a gospel meeting. We had Rob Whitaker back in October. I was there, but I said I didn't have to preach at New Concord that day. Today was the first time I've been away from New Concord since, I believe, August of last year. And she said, what are you trying to say? Are you trying to say you need some vacation time? I said, yeah, I think I do. It's been about 8-9 months, you know. I've been going at it. I mean, with this evangelism thing we've got going on, it's been great and it's awesome. And we've got so much going on. But I said, you know what, the time, but I can't do it right now. I wasn't at New Concord today. I can't go and ask the elders for some time off. I told the preachers when I spoke to them, I brought up this idea of relax. It's okay to take some time off. You know, if the elders allow you to take a couple weeks, use it. Don't be embarrassed about that. Use it. I've learned over the years. There was a time in my life when I felt bad about going away, leaving the congregation. Well, now it's like you need that time. Jesus told his disciples on a couple occasions, go up into the mountain, rest. You know, in the Old Testament, God commanded land. He commanded man to rest the land 1 year. What is it? Every seventh year the land was to rest? And so I was telling the preachers, Dale and Jeff Jenkins, two good friends of mine, and some of you have probably heard their names. Dale always speaks at CYC. And Dale had written a book and some material on this, and he basically said that it's good after a few years, after a preacher's been in a congregation for a few years, to go to the elders, and elders give him a whole summer off. And he used the Old Testament text that God said. And I said, and Larry was there that day when I was speaking. I said, Larry, am I allowed to do that? And he just kind of grinned. I put him between a rock and a hard place. I said, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that at all. I wouldn't recommend that. But it's okay to get some rest. It's okay to relax. Maybe you've been so involved in church work and you're doing this and that, and There's a couple ladies there at church at New Concord that are on the go, it seems like, 24-7. I can't outwork them. I've tried. It just doesn't work. They're the hardest working people I've ever seen, but sometimes they get frustrated. Sometimes they get a little irritated, and those are usually symptoms of a person beginning to grow weary. And I've had to set them down and say, you need to back off a little bit. You need to slow down just a little bit. Let some other people handle this week or the next few weeks. And maybe you find yourself just like that. You've been teaching maybe a Bible class for years on end. I know people that have done that and will continue to do that, and I admire that. But sometimes it's okay to say no for a couple, maybe a semester or a quarter. Take some time. Not quit the church, but let somebody else do it for a while before, and then maybe you try something else. So Elijah's getting some relaxation. Notice again, says that an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat, verse 5. Verse 6 says, he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink and laid him down again. Point number 4, I believe we're on point number 4. I got kind of two words here. Detoxification and hydration. What do I mean by that? I mean a healthy diet. Now I know you look at me and go, well, preacher, you need to practice what you preach. Here's one of these points when I feel a little bit hypocritical, right? because I don't eat as I always should. I'm trying. I mentioned 2010. I mentioned my daughter, our daughter. We were convinced, or they had us convinced, she had all kinds of mental issues, and we finally got her in to see a specialist, and the first thing he did was had all this blood work done. And guess what we found out? She was deficient in all vitamins, especially vitamin D, vitamin C. She had a thyroid issue, and she had some other issues. So old Terry goes, and after talking to the doctor, and doctor kind of giving us some information, I do my own research and find out she doesn't have really any of these types of things. She's dealing with physical issues. Not only is she at that age where her body's starting to change, but she's deficient. She's not been eating right. She's stressing out over things. Her body's changing. And all she needs is she needs to drink more water. She needs to take her vitamins. She needs to get on a thyroid pill. And she needs to start eating better. So our family decided at that point, we'll just all start together. And things started to change for her. All right? We know that we're to feast on the Word. We're to eat the Word, the Bible. We're to digest that spiritually, right? Ezekiel chapter 3. Peter says, as newborn babes, we're to desire. We understand that, but I'm talking right now about physical. What's your diet like? One of the things that I'm trying to do is get in more about into this fasting. It's not commanded in the Bible, but it's there. Obviously, there's a reason why it's in the Bible, and now we're finding out as more facts come out, and you can go on the internet and Google this, that it's actually good for you. It's a form of detoxification. You go 18 hours, 24 hours. You know, I wouldn't start. I don't know if I just 6 hours for me is good. I had to start out slow, right? You know, whoo, that was tough those first 6 hours. Then you build up to 18 hours, then 24 hours. It's good for your body. A lot of people grow weary because of just choices they make and what they eat. And so we need to be careful there. Let's move on. I can't spend too much time on eating because that's just one of those areas that it's really hard, but I'm preaching to myself. Again, the angel touched him. By the way, go down to verse 7. The angel of the Lord came again the second time, touched him again, and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he's going to go on a 40-day journey here. Mount Hor. I don't know if you, I know this is we don't have this today where there's angels amongst us. Well, we might have it in a realm we can't see. But this idea of touch. And so the next point I want to say, and the word I want to use is insulation. Insulation. And what I mean by that is we need to surround ourselves, insulate ourselves with people who genuinely care. And we see that with this angel. The angel, this Elijah needed that. Isn't there something special about just a touch? Sometimes when you're down and out, someone just to come over and just to give you a big hug, a shoulder to cry on, a handshake, you know, whatever it is. That's what Elijah needed, and this angel knew that. And the point is, he's insulating himself, whether he realized it or not, he's insulating himself with people who genuinely care. Now, he had done that earlier with the woman at Zarephath, right? There was someone there that God directed him to, and the son that was there, and so he was insulating. He not only was encouraging them, they were encouraging her, or him, and he was encouraging them. Now you've got this angel. Later it's going to be Elisha, who he's going to pass the mantle to. You and I need to surround ourselves with people who care. That's why it's so important to be at the services. Hebrews 10, verse 23. What does it say? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without what? Wavering. Verse 24 then goes on to talk about what? We need to consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. And then verse 25 says what?
not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner some is, but so much the more as we see the day approaching. There's a reason, there's a number of reasons why it's good for us to assemble, to be together. First and foremost, we're here to worship God. But next to that, we're here to provoke one another, to encourage one another unto love and good works. How can we hold fast to profession? By the way, profession there is the word homologeo in the Greek. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I've looked that one up. It's the same word we get confession. Let us hold fast the homologeo, the profession of our faith, and let us do so without wavering. How is that possible? How can we do that? By assembling together and encouraging one another, insulating ourselves with people who genuinely care. Confession, Matthew 10, 32 and 33, Jesus said, if you'll not confess me before men, I'll not confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Romans 10, 9 and 10 also talks about that. Homologeo, profession or confession is not just verbally saying that I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. It is a lifelong commitment you're making before men. And that's what we're doing. We've got to hold on to the commitments that we made when we obeyed the gospel, when we made the great confession. But to do that, we have to insulate ourselves with people who care. And that's one of the beauties of the church, is it not? One another. That's what he's doing here. Go on to verse number 9. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. And he said unto him, what doest thou, Elijah? He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. There are times when I go, woe is me, Terry, and I kind of feel like Elijah. Sometimes I feel all alone. I know that's not the case, but sometimes that's just how I feel, especially when you look out in this dark world. You see all the evil that's going on, and it's like you scratch your head, and I said, where's all the common sense gone? What's going on with people? And so I understand kind of Elijah's mindset here. He says, you know, even I've got so many gospel preacher friends, but so many of them are falling away. Gospel preachers, men that's been preaching longer than I, giving in to sexual immorality or just whatever that they're involved in. They're giving up preaching. They're doubting everything they've always believed. And I sit there and go, what is going on? That's how Elijah felt. God's people had abandoned God's messengers. They weren't listening to what the prophets were saying. They were throwing down his altars and exchanging them for practices of Baalism, all these types of things. And Elijah's going, what's going on? But God's speaking to him, which brings me to my next point, and that word is communication. Now, God is speaking directly to him. God sent him an angel. God's not speaking to us verbally today. Well, he is through what? His word. We have what he has given us. We have what he's, you know, 1,600 years, 40-some men put together, inspired. We have the inerrant, infallible word of God. It's inspired. It's God-breathed. We need to be in communication with God. We do that through prayer and then listening to what he has to say to us in his word. Elijah's learning that lesson. He's having to take time and he's having now to communicate with God. Many times when we become weary, when we're having bad days, when we want to quit spiritually, it's because we're not communicating with God as we should. What's your prayer life like? Are you praying daily? Are you making your request, your supplications known to God? Are you in His Word and studying from it? You know, I've had to do a lot of soul searching over the years, especially in 2010, and I was on my knees a lot. Daughter was going through all those difficulties, and I didn't know what to do to help fix her. I couldn't fix her. I didn't. It drove me to my knees. Many nights at the foot of her bed until she'd fall asleep, I was sitting at the foot of her bed praying to God.
I was getting in the Word and trying to figure out, God, what is it that you want? Do I need to stay here? Do I need to leave? Lord, what? You know, I was at a point where I thought God is wanting me to get out of preaching. 9 congregations, nobody's called me. My attitude wasn't good. My conclusion was God's saying, you know what? You need to go back to the tire business because your attitude is unbecoming of a not only a Christian, but especially a preacher. And then my brother said no. And then I'm still communicating to God. We have to be in constant communication with Him through a study of His Word and through prayer. Verse 11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. God speaking to him, go out, stand upon the mount, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. This next point, observation. We have to stand back from time to time and see God's power, God's presence, God's protection. We see God's providence. Now, God was, you know, could He have used a wind to blow down Ahab's castle? Yeah. Could He have opened up the, could He have lifted the lid off the fires of hell and torched Ahab and his family? Yeah. But He didn't. But does that mean that God had failed? Does that mean that God wasn't concerned about His prophet? Does that mean that God didn't care? Not at all. It's that still small voice. What was eventually going to happen was a stray arrow was going to find its mark through one small defect in Ahab's armor. Dogs were eventually going to eat Jezebel's dog food. See, what God's doing is He's bringing him out to the mound and He's having him stand back to observe, to stand and see that God was still working in his life. And you and I need to see that in our lives. I know when things are difficult, especially in 2010, I had some questions. I was like, where are you, Lord? I look back on that situation now and I need to do that from time to time. And you know what? You know what I realized? The Lord was right there with me through all that. He had never left me. He was there. And when you and I realize that and we begin to see that, it's going to help us in those wearisome times. Moving on, go down to verse 18. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. My next point, next word is fortification. It kind of goes in with that insulation point, but this is just building upon that. You know, we need to find strength in the fact that there are others going through difficulties just like we are, others just like us that are remaining faithful. Elijah, he had forgotten this. God is pointing out there are 7,000 just like you, Elijah, who have not bowed their knee to Baal. And that should have served as strength, motivation, fortification for this great prophet. And no doubt it did. Heard a story and illustration years ago. A man had quit going to church, so the preacher went out to see him one day. He hadn't been to services for a long time. Preacher knocked on the door, and the man said, door's open. He walked in. It was a cold day like today, and the man had a fire going in the fireplace. And when you have situations like that, it's kind of hard sometimes to know what to say. You know, I just simply go, you know, small talk for a little bit, and then we find out, okay, what's going on? Well, this preacher didn't say anything. He sat down beside the man there at the fireplace, and the preacher took the poker, and he pulled a piece off the fire, a small piece of wood, and pulled it off and just set it over here away from the fire. And in a few minutes, guess what happened to that piece of wood? The fire started to go out. He waited for a few minutes, and they're just sitting there watching, both men just sitting there. And then he took his stick and he just brushed it, moved it back over to the fire, and it caught fire again. And that's all. The preacher didn't say a word. That's all the preacher did. The man said, "I understand what you're trying to say, preacher. I'll see you Sunday." Strength in numbers. Everybody's needed. And it certainly is fortifying, is it not? Especially on a night like tonight, to see you here. Your support, your encouragement, you help fortify, you help strengthen my faith. And then finally, verse 19, "So he departed thence, found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee.' And he said unto him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to thee?' And he returned back from him, took a yoke of oxen, slew them, boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he rose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him." The last point is mobilization. There comes a point when you've got to get out of the cave. You've given time. You've been in communication with God. You've had that time of relaxation. You've had that time to pout. Now you've come to the realization, this is the way it is, but I've got something to do. God's got something for me to do, and so you've got to mobilize. You've got to go find someone to serve. I mentioned that this morning. Isn't that one of the points? One of the things we miss out on is the satisfaction and the joy that comes when we serve our fellow man. That's what it's all about. That's what Christianity's all about. And until we start doing that, we're never really going to be joyful and be content and be satisfied. Elijah come out of the cave, and he went and found Elisha, and he began to train him to be a prophet. Hopefully some points tonight that will encourage you in your daily walk with God. Oh, let me go back to how I started. I was sitting on that park bench, and my brother said, "Can't come." I hung up the phone. Now what? I can't remember if it was the next day or just a few days after that. I'm walking in the same park, still wondering, what am I going to do? Phone rings. And I pick it up. Now, I say pick it up. That was a cell phone. I just answered it. It was actually a flip-up phone. That was back in the flip-up phone days. I said, "Hello?" I didn't recognize the number. He said, "This is so-and-so, elder at a congregation in Alabama. I know we talked about 9 months ago to a year ago, and I apologize it's taken us this long to get back with you, but wanted to know if you're still looking for a new preaching position, if you might be interested in coming and down and working with us." It took me a little while to figure out who it was. It's been so long. Turns out what had happened was that congregation 3 years before had brought a guy out of retirement, an older preacher. And so they just brought him on to kind of help with the transition. They had a preacher there for 12 years and he left. And so they just decided instead of bringing somebody full-time on, they would just kind of go slow and make sure they get the right fit. So they brought this guy out of retirement, and he stayed there for 3 years. And finally, about a week or two before this elder called me, he announced to the congregation, "I'm finally retiring. You're going to have to find somebody." I told him, "I'm very much interested, but I have to be honest with you. I'm broken. I've been beat up. and I've lost my confidence. He said, it sounds like you need us, and we need you. And the rest of the story is I went and worked with them for 6.5 years and ended up here. I'm not sure I'd end up in New Concord had it not been for that call to Alabama. God answered my prayers. It was tough for a while, hard to go through it. But now, looking back on that, I can step back. I can see God was telling me, Terry, you're not going to quit, but you're going to have to be patient. You're going to have to work on my time. I've got a perfect work for you, a work that you need and they need you. I didn't see that at the time. But now I can see God's providence. It's amazing. I still don't know exactly how that works, but I believe it does. As this chapter ended with Elisha going back and telling his folks bye, and he takes the instruments, the very tools that he used in farming to fuel the fire to basically sacrifice and eat the oxen that were used to plow the fields. There's another lesson right there when you think about if we're going to follow God, if we're going to follow Jesus, there's repentance involved in that. There are things maybe in our lives that we've got to get rid of, to dispose of. Things that might hinder us. That's what Elisha did, and maybe that's what you need to do tonight. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you're not a Christian tonight, what's holding you back? There's no guarantees for tomorrow. The Christian life is the greatest life one could ever live. It's the abundant life promised by our Lord Jesus Christ. Why not tonight submit to Him? Be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, and be raised up to walk a new life. If we can assist you in that tonight, come now. As together we stand, as we sing.
I've
wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Open wide thy arms of love.
Is there anyone here tonight who needs to take Lord's Supper? If you do, Mark would be glad to get anyone some. If not, you'll turn your song books to 389. We'll sing the first and last verse, and then we'll be dismissed by Jim's going to have announcements and then closing prayer. I want to thank Terry for the fine lesson tonight. Really appreciate it. 389.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go.
Couple of things that found out today that wasn't announced this morning, and if you're here and you have an announcement, this will be a time we'll give you an opportunity to do that. First of all, Rosemary, we've talked to her today. She's in the hospital in Lancaster and having trouble with her feet again, so keep her in your prayers. And then you want to keep Susie Gibbs in your prayers as well. She's recovering from back surgery, you know, from last week, so keep them in your prayers. Anything else that needs to be announced at this time? You see, powerful lesson tonight from God's Word for us. And there'll be another one, Lord willing, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. So hopefully you're able to come back. So thankful that you came this evening. And I believe if there's nothing else, Bob, are you able to come to the mic? And Bob will dismiss us with a closing prayer.
Let us pray. God, our Father in heaven, we come to prayer this evening to thank you for another fine lesson that you have given us to take out and teach others. And we thank you for Terry that he brought this lesson to us that we need to understand and take it out and teach others and try to bring others under Christ. We thank you so much for your son that died on that cross for our sins. And we thank you so much for all your blessings. We ask you to be with this meeting, that it be a good success and there may be good to come from it. We ask you to be with us at the close of this meeting and this Lord's Day. We so much thank you for all the blessing you've given us. And we ask you to go with us tonight and watch over us. In your son's name we pray. Amen.